I survived General Conference. So, what I want to say about that, because I want to preach, it was 10, 12 days of very intense meetings. The Global Church met and made many, many decisions that will impact the local church. Now those decisions need to be translated into what the meaning of that for the local church. So we're going to meet with the discernment team in the afternoon today, after this service, and we're going to plan the next steps for St. John. And my prayer is that you understand, and most importantly, that you realize that at the end of the day, you, St. John, you have been together for more than 30 years. This is your community. This is your place. So my hope is that as a big family, the big family that we are, that we spend time having conversations and working together. My biggest ask is that you don't vote with your feet. Just make decisions on your own and just go away basically on what you're hearing on the media and stuff. So my hope is that we can process this together and we can make informed decisions, and we believe that we all have the Holy Spirit and every decision will be honored. And when you are led by the Spirit, you can never be led astray. Amen? So, but my hope is that let's stay together, let's pray together. We're going to keep you informed. We're going to have different ways of, passing information. And then we're going to meet and have a bigger meeting. But for now, please stay away from the media. People are making money out of this. You know, it's like everything is spinning information. You have two delegates inside the room, Tom, your former pastor, and I. So we're giving you the truth, not trying to create more politics and more money out of it. We're giving you the truth. So please trust us one more time. We're going to make sure that you have everything you need, and we're going to go through this together, okay? But please stay calm, and let's keep the mission first. And then also Kentucky, the Kentucky Annual Conference, they also need to process all of this and how Kentucky Conference is going to respond and leave this out. So there is many, many pieces still in the air. It's too early, but my hope now is that you stay fast and let's do what this sermon says. Let's connect with the Holy Spirit and spend time together. God bless you. So I believe in the Holy Spirit. That's the first, that's one of the first biggest a statement that I made when I came to Christ, because for you to believe in Christ, you need the Holy Spirit. There is no way to do that without the Holy Spirit. You see that in the gospel, the first job of the Holy Spirit is to awaken us that we need Jesus, that we need a Savior, that we are not good in our own. We just recognize that we are sinners. That's only possible through the Holy Spirit. Then we also believe that the Holy Spirit begins to work in us. It's a regeneration, transforming our minds, our souls, our spirit to conform to God's word. And as we do that, we grow into holiness, justification, holiness, and we grow in relationship with Christ. But when the church as a whole, the global church, and I have the opportunity to be with so many people from around the globe, and regardless of all the challenges that we saw, I was one of the delegates that pressed the conference passing a petition on adopting the Apostle Creed as part of the theological stance of the church, especially during this season, to have some boundaries somehow. But let's declare together the Apostle Creed together in unity. 1, 2, 3. Amen. I believe in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Universal Church. Those two statements are connected. We believe that the Church of Christ will always prevail. And in 2,000 years, we see the Church going through so many things. But at the end of the day, the Church will continue moving forward and witnessing to the world. So we believe in the Holy Spirit. And when we say that, the question is, who is the Holy Spirit? And we see so many traditions, so many religions, and I want just to continue building the church, understanding around this issue. Some of you know about this. If you know about this, just affirm it in your heart and know it and know it and know it. You don't know it, then you can learn it. But the most important thing is that the Holy Spirit is also God. We are a Trinitarian tradition, meaning we believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When people hear this, they say, well, you have three gods. And the answer is no. We have one God, three persons, which is different. God has, you know, this Godhead. We have this essence, the substance of God. Who God is one. But we have three distinct persons that through the Trinity interact with humanity, different functions, different roles. God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but the three of them are God. And when we say that, what we mean is, number one, that Jesus promised that he will send the Holy Spirit to us to continue helping us in this process of becoming more like Christ and receiving the Word of God through the Holy Spirit, who is able to teach us and also remind us everything that we need to learn. So when you spend time in the Bible reading the scriptures, what is going to happen is that you are going to learn, and then you're going to be not only, if you have a good mind, and some people do, they memorize everything, most of us can't. Most of us need to rely on in the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit can remind us things and bring it back to memory when we need it after we spend time in the Word. So we have this event in the book of Acts when the church was born through the Holy Spirit, and the Apostle Peter is having this conversation with Ananias, and he's confronting him about lying, about using funds that basically he sold his farm, and he was lying about it, and he's saying, you know, the Apostle Peter said, don't lie about it. Why are you lying about this? It's your own money. It's your money. Why you lie about this? Well, the reason we lie is because that's who we are. It's our broken nature. It's just to lie. But in that moment, the Apostle Peter confronts Ananias, and he says, how is that Satan has also filled your heart? And then he says, you have lied to the Holy Spirit. And then at the end, he says, you have not lied just to human beings, meaning the church, but to God. So in other words, when you come, you talk to the leaders of the church, you talk to people in the church, you can lie to us, but it's impossible for you and for me to escape God's judgment. When we lie to God, and God will know if you are saying the truth or not. And we are very intelligent in craft, how to craft and find ways to hide things, but God always reveals things. Everything brings is come to light in his presence. So why do we say that God, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, and God the Son are one, and they have the same essence, the same substance? Okay, the three of them, which is the essence of God, are omnipresent. So they are everywhere. Psalms 139:7-8 talk about, where can I go from your spirit? And the psalmist is preaching and praising and saying, where I can go? I cannot flee. If I go to heaven, there you are. If I go to the end of the earth, there you are. So there's no way to escape the spirit. And when you have a relationship with God, even if you are in the darkest places in the world, the Holy Spirit still presents. In other words, there's no place on earth, inside, outside of the earth, where you can escape God. Now, we human beings, we have a tendency to say, oh, God is not here. God is not here. No, God is always present. Doesn't matter what you're seeing, doesn't matter what is happening, God is always present, especially in the darkest moments, God is present. God, that's Genesis 1:2, that the earth was void and dark, but the Holy Spirit was there. So even if you go to the darkest places, you can go to a nightclub, God is everywhere. If you open yourself to him, you will find him anywhere, everywhere. Then we know also that God is omniscient, which means he knows everything. 1 Corinthians 2 talks about God and the Spirit of God, searching God and understanding God himself. So for you, for a person to understand God and know God, have to be God. There's no other way around this. And it's a comparison with our spirit and the Spirit of God is the same in the sense of inside of us and knowing what we do and what, and who we actually are. So back here, the powerful statement is that no one knows the thought of God except the Spirit of God, which is also an affirmation as the Holy Spirit as God. Omniscience. He knows everything. Number three, he's all powerful. We see Jesus teaching us and saying, you know, go to Jerusalem, speak to the apostles, wait there, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and then you will be witnesses in all over the world. So in other words, in John 16, he says, and the Holy Spirit, I will send the Spirit to you. He will be in you. He will be with you. And now he's saying he will be upon you. In other words, there is no way to escape the Spirit. He is in you. Amen. How many of you know the Holy Spirit? How many of you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? So he's in you, and then he said he's with you. In other words, you don't know God. You even say God does not exist, but he's with you. From the moment you are born, God is trying to bring you closer. And you can look back into your life since you were a child, and you will see the hand of God in your life calling you to come closer. But he's also in you. The moment you say, Holy Spirit, I believe Jesus is my Lord and Savior, he comes in you, into your heart. And then when you want to make disciples and you want to preach the gospel, then he says, now it's coming upon you with power. And that's something that we need to see, how this relationship with the Holy Spirit is so important in our Christian walk. Now, I also want to clarify that we as Christians need to embrace even deeper this understanding that our God is a personal God. It's not a God that is up there, away, not connected to us. God is right here, right now. He's a person, which means that he's more than the force. Yesterday is May 4th. You know, we have may the force be with you. You know, that's what people say, may the force be with you. So, but, you know, the force in the universe are different from God. God is outside of the universe. God is outside of creation. So God is a person. And what are the characteristics of a person? Number one, people speak. People, you know, the people, you know, can say things. So the Holy Spirit is a person. How do we know that? Acts 13, 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and what? Fasting. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. The Holy Spirit said. So a force cannot say anything, but the Holy Spirit can. Why? Because he's a person. He said that. The Holy Spirit said that, which is something also very distinctive from our faith. People pray, and I shared that with you like 6 months ago when I said that we all prayed. All religions pray. But the power of prayer for transformational and salvation and revelation is through the Holy Spirit. So you can pray all day, but if you don't invite the Holy Spirit, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, upon you, and with you, your prayers, my friend, are just prayers. That's why people say, well, these Muslims and other people, they pray 3 times a day, 4 times a day, and Buddhists and all of people are praying, and then you don't pray as much. And we're supposed to have the truth. We're supposed to be the ones who know everything, but we don't even pray even close to what many of the religions pray. But what is the unique distinction here? Grace and also the Holy Spirit in us that give us this revelation, understanding of who God is. And that's the power of prayer. That when we pray in the name of Jesus, even if you say the name of Jesus without the Holy Spirit means nothing. When you say the Holy Spirit and you bring the Holy Spirit in and the name of Jesus in, that's when you start seeing things moving. People can say, Jesus, I love Jesus all day. The question is, do you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and you have the revelation of Jesus in God, in you, with you, upon you, and now I know that things are serious, that you really believe and you claim who you say you are a child of God because the Holy Spirit bears witness into your heart that he is who he is. The Holy Spirit is also a person because he can be grieved. It says Ephesians 4:30, and do not what? Grieve the Holy Spirit. How can you grieve a force? He's a person. He gets sad. And how you know that you grieve the Holy Spirit? When you do things and when we do things that are against the scriptures, when we sin with our thoughts, with our words, with our actions. Sometimes you get up in the morning and you are happy and you are rejoicing, and then midday you are sad and you don't even know where the sadness comes from. Well, when that happens, that's a perfect moment for you to stop and say, Holy Spirit, what is going on? Because sometimes we just grieve the Spirit and without even know it. Okay? So that's so important that we understand that the Holy Spirit grieves, and you start feeling this sadness. Sadness for the world. Sadness for the brokenness of the world. When you see people, when you see the world broken, and you see this desperation, you feel sad. That sadness comes from the Holy Spirit in our hearts. That's why he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He can be grieved. Number three, do not lie to the Holy Spirit. We just see that in the book of Acts. Do not lie to the Holy Spirit. We can lie to the Holy Spirit. We can lie, but in reality, we are in denial. We are lying to ourselves. We can lie to our spouses, our children, our neighbors, our pastors. But at the end of the day, if you stop and ask God, God, what is the truth? Sometimes we even lie to ourselves and we don't even know it. We're in denial. We don't even know it. And then you say, Holy Spirit, come. Come, reveal to me. Is there anything in me that is wrong? And he begins to talk to you. And at that moment, you need to stop the game of lying and being smart and just receive in your heart that you have been lying to yourself, not only to your family and your people, but to yourself. Do not lie to the Holy Spirit. He teaches and reminds us. He remembers. He brings the word of God back to mind. And that's the difference between the Logos, which is the written word of God, and the word of God that is alive. Once you are in a situation, these 66 books come into a situation by the Spirit, a specific word that comes from the Spirit for that situation. You remember. You don't even thinking about it. It's boom, you have it there. That's a big difference. So you can have the Logos all day, and that's what Paul says, and the Bible says, that you can read this all day, but it's not this what gives you life. The Spirit is life, and the Spirit brings this into life. Without the Spirit, it's impossible to overcome the enemy. He intercedes for us. When you don't know what to pray, when you are weak, the Holy Spirit is said with wordless groans. I don't know if you know what that means, that sometimes you cannot even have the words to express what you have to say. You don't know. You only can hear your own voice and your own sobbing, and you are crying sometimes. Have you ever lost someone? You have a pain inside that you can even describe what it is like something deep, especially in the moment that you learn that this person passed away. And you know, you don't have words, but the Holy Spirit is there. And one thing is to cry alone, and one thing is to cry with the Holy Spirit. It's a whole different game. When you cry alone, you are on your own, baby. You are depressed, you are sad. But when you cry with the Holy Spirit, you are still sad. But you also have some peace inside of you. You don't know how. But somehow you still trust God that everything will be fine. And you know it. How do you know that? The Holy Spirit testifies to your heart and gives you that conviction. No one can explain it to you. You don't know how, but somehow you believe it. And he revealed the truth. If you are spending time with the Word, if you're spending time with God, he will reveal the truth to you. You walk in truth, in love, in grace, but you cannot walk away from the truth. You have to embrace the truth, even when it's painful. Now, one of the most powerful acts of the Holy Spirit as all-powerful God is give birth to the church through Jesus. And we have these declarations in Ephesians 4, that we have one faith, one God, one Father, one Spirit, through all in all, that he is our Father. But when he comes and gives birth to the church, he's making a connection with Genesis 2 and the Gospels. This is very powerful. You know that in Genesis 2, God created Eve. So he, and then it said that while Adam was sleeping, he took one of the man's rib and closed it up and created woman, Eve. Well, that's the same picture that when God wanted to bring the church, he called the second Adam Jesus. In the same way, the first Adam, from his side, Eve was born. Now in Jesus, also from his side, the church is born. It says that Jesus was in the cross. He was on the cross. And when he was on the cross, and they thought, oh, he's dead. The soldier pierced him. And when he pierced him, he said that water and blood came out of his side, testifying, connecting that he's the second Adam. In the same way the first Adam gave birth to Eve, now Jesus is giving birth to the church. And he says that water and blood, but when you start reading this, it's powerful. It says in Ephesians that we need to love, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church, and how he cleans the church with his word, with water. But most importantly, we want to be a radiant church. Do you think that St. John can be a radiant church? The only way is to stay in the Word and continue inviting the Holy Spirit to move among us, in us, with us, upon us. And then when you see this, this is a powerful testimony about Jesus when he was giving this to the world, water and blood, three witnesses on earth and in heaven. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and what else? Water and the blood. And the three are in agreement. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit testify in heaven. On earth, the testimony comes from the Spirit, the water, baptism, the blood, sanctification in Jesus, the table. It's powerful. It was born out of Jesus' side. These things really blow my mind. I don't know if you received this, but this is powerful to see how 66 books, 1,500 years come together, 40 authors. It's the word of God. It's the power of God. And then he testified how the Holy Spirit came and gave birth to the church and came upon all the apostles that Jesus said, he will come upon you for you to be witness. And the Bible says that there was in the Pentecost, which is kind of like a derby feast, right? You go to the derby, you have people from all over the world. Well, the Holy Spirit came, and in the midst of the derby, imagine that. People coming and speaking, everybody speaking English regardless of where they are coming from. In their own language, Chinese, Hebrew, whatever it is. And they start speaking their own language. The glory of God. Church. The church without the Holy Spirit is a club. The church without the Holy Spirit we can have 300 strategies, 400 teams, 500 traditions. Without the Holy Spirit, we're playing. We're just here. But we invite the Holy Spirit, it gets serious. That's my prayer, that we do this. Let's go into a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because that's the only way to actually know that we are in the right place and we're following Christ. And if we have the Holy Spirit, let's testify and let's bring unity in the Spirit. Let's bring unity to the table and let's testify together. So I respect other traditions when they say that the first sign of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues, meaning angelical tongues. I really believe that the first sign of the Holy Spirit is that you begin to talk about Christ. I see people that speak in tongues all day. They don't share the gospel with anyone. No one comes to Christ because of them or through them. No one is baptized through them. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you cannot hold it back. You have to talk about Jesus in a way that people understand. Does that mean that I believe in the gift of tongues? Of course, I have the gift of tongues. But that's not the first sign. The first sign is preaching the gospel, sharing the love of Jesus.